morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is SpongeBob, and I'm your host, Matt. And I'm here with a very special guest. One might say that this guest is a big deal. I'm talking about Brooklyn Big Deal Barwick, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on,
Brooklyn? Yo. You know, just out here in Vegas. I just got my first pro win, so I'm just kind of vibing and kind of regrounding. First day back in training. It was great.
So let's get into that. You turned professional, mm-hmm. but it wasn't your first boxing match.
No.
Can you just tell the people your history in the sport of boxing?
Yeah, so I started as an influencer boxer, if you would say that. I started just... Somebody went up to me and was like, hey, do you want to go up against this girl, Nikki Rue? Like, it's a celebrity crossover match. Like, you'll get paid. And I was like, yeah, I love just getting my unchecked aggression out. So I did that. And I just kind of got the boxing bug ever since. And, I recently took myself seriously because I know my abilities. I've just been in an entertainment type of field. So I was like, you know what? Why not actually turn professional, turn this into, like, a big deal? Like, yeah.
So you went from influencer to professional boxer. What was the influencing boxing world like?
It's very much
favorite event.
No, it's very much drama. So a lot of the promoters are in your ear, just being like, "Hey, can you do something? Like, we need a couple million views, like type thing." So I've thrown like dildos, I've thrown bar stools, I've done like shenanigans to my opponents, and that like quote unquote sells the fight, even though it's not. Really selling the fight, it's really selling like a storyline. So that's the only difference. And besides, obviously, the skill divide that influencers and professionals have in the boxing world, it's just, yeah, it's more about in professional boxing, it's more about skill rather than over there. It's more about what you can bring to the table for viewership wise and entertaining wise. But yeah, it's all to me the same sport, just different leagues type shit, because I'm not going to take away from a few of the influencers that actually have taken the sport seriously. But 9 out of 10 times, all of those influencer boxers just want a bag and just don't take the sport seriously.
Now, what one of the events that you did, you boxed for, I think it was...
You're cutting out?
Barstool. I said, yes. What are the events that you did?
Barstool
was
Sports.
Rock and Roddy,
yep.
For Barstool. Yeah. You boxed an older woman, I guess. It was like supposed to be like mom versus
social media influencer. What?
What was that?
So that was Barstool Sports Rough and Rowdy. I went up against January Hogue, who was the Pennsylvania, I believe, Pittsburgh, West Pennsylvania division, Golden Glove champ. I got set up into thinking I could beat her. And I actually called her before my pro debut with her husband. We're really good friends now. She's a hard hitter. She was a proper amateur. And it's that kind of storylines that the influencer world kind of sells to us all, because it's just some bullshit at the end of the day.
Wait. So they set you up against someone who actually
knows how to box. Yeah. Yeah. So like with me, I only had like 2 months prior to like my first bout, and then that was maybe month 3 of me training. So I was like, fuck it, like why not? Like they're offering a bag. I love Dave Portnoy. No, they sell storylines, and that's when I was the joke, you know what I mean? So now I saw the dirty side of boxing after that, but yeah. Like, that's kind of, like, what the influencer world is about. Rather than the event I just did, it's get in, box and get out, get your hands like wrapped, get your wrap signed, your glove signed. Like you have to go through extensive medicals and just like actually do this shit for real, you know?
Now you did mention that you just had your first pro fight.
Yeah.
Where was the fight? Like, tell us about the event and how it came to be that you actually got your first fight over the line.
So the event that I was doing was in the small town of San Luis, Mexico. And it was a good, honestly, it was a good bout. Like, it was a very much a hometown crowd. And I've always wanted to box in Mexico because my dad lives in Mexico. So I was put on the poster, obviously, for the fact that I was coming from the United States and the fact that I do indeed have a social media following. So there was that aspect. And then I just went in. I did my debut. I was the first fight. Apparently, there wasn't like any live stream that I found out later. And then it was more of like, okay, well, with the whole medicals, I had to do like brain scans, blood, piss, like you name it. I had to do it type thing. And I sent those in to the commission and I had to wait for an approval and like all this like long ass process. Shout out to my manager because he mostly just told me what to do and just like handed in the paperwork, did all that shit. And the crowd was very much amazing. It was very much, they were starstruck that myself and another person from Long Beach, California, like came over the border to fight. And they last minute changed my opponent from the original opponent that I was supposed to have. And this girl had more experience than the girl that I was originally paired up with. So I didn't know what was going on that end for the matchmaking part of it, but I obviously boxed and I did my shit. And yeah, like it was a very fast paced environment. It was a very much a more respectful environment because I feel like in the influencers, I have to always watch my back because just like pranks happen. Also like boxing in that whole like circuit kind of scarred me and kind of put a trauma in my brain of like people are out to get you. But yeah, like always be cautious, especially in boxing. But at the same time, like it's not always the case. So it was just very new. It was a great environment. And the girl really hit hard. What I remember is after the walkout, because the only thing we have is the Android video because the live stream didn't work. I was the first fight. They didn't obviously care about social media clout or anything because, again, it's traditional. I'm zero on the rankings. I'm now number 24 in featherweight. But like they didn't know who the fuck I was. I went in, I did my job. I got a gnarly right hand down the line, and that's when I got mad. And I knocked her out in 54 seconds into round number one. It was a 4-round scheduled bout for 2 minutes in the female featherweight division. And yeah, like this girl came up to my weight class. She was building a lot of muscles. She had a proper amateur experience. And I'm very content with that because I was like, okay, look at me coming from an improper amateur career, something that recently just fell into my hands. And now having a clear mind, having a good team around me, I know that I can exceed through my abilities. Because again, with there was an article by the Jewish Boxing Vlog, and they were like, she looked better than any of her exhibitions. I've only had exhibitions, meaning influencers. I only had one bout where this was Crypto Fight Night in London, where I felt beyond ready, where I felt I won and like actually like had the proper camp. Every single other training camp that I went to, did not take me seriously because I am what I call a fun size fighter. I'm 4'11". I'm a very specific fight style. So not a lot of people know how to teach that on top of getting the foundation and the basics down. But now, since I have gone out to Vegas and I've done the back and forth between my team in New York and now I have a team in Vegas, like I feel very like ready. And because I was calm-minded, y'all saw what happened. I knocked her out 54 seconds, and you don't see in the Android video, but her side of her eye started bleeding. And next time, with some advisement from content creators and just boxers in general, I will be having a content team with me. And I will be, you know, kind of documenting it more. I'm used to having the cameramans and everybody just on me because of the influencer stuff. But now it's like, okay, cool. Like, now I understand that in the pros, it's, you have to do what you have to do, and you have to make shift, especially if you're going from Mexico. I have another bout in London, some in Colombia, and like Peru and shit. So it's like, oh, I don't know if they have the same like tripod as me. I don't know if they have the same things as me. So yeah, I also walked out to Bad Baby, which her song is now off of Meta because it was too derogatory, obviously. But this, I felt like, was my get back to all of the haters and everybody who doubted me in my pro transition. But I'm very proud of it. My manager came with me, and we got the job done.
Now, you did mention that you had a fight Crypto Night in London. Mm-hmm. What was that against a porn?
Yes,
star?
That was against Amber O'Donnell.
Oh my God. So all right, so how do these fights even come together? Because I'm actually curious, like, how this gets done. You guys just happen to bump into each other, like, on the internet, and then you say, hey, let's fight, and then it just happens? Like, how do they set up these influencer bouts?
It's mostly through online beef. That's like what I said. Like, they kind of manipulate the beef and make you look like to be a joke or to be the villain. Like, it's very WWE like character type thing. That's why Dylan Danis, if you noticed when he was going up against Logan Paul, did the whole Logan Paul wife, like the slander and everything. Because it was selling the fight. That's what they always preach in the ear. Oh, can you do this? Oh, we need a storyline. No, people aren't going to be interested in just your boxing abilities because it's sad, because it's an actual skill divide. So, yeah, like, my storyline was I was an OnlyFans assassin for that one, and that was in June 2024.
Now, your pro bout. Obviously, you were successful first round knockout. You're now number 24 in the Box Rec rankings at featherweight, right above Paige VanZant.
Yep.
Is that maybe a fight that you're looking at to have?
I would love that, honestly. Yeah.
With the next couple fights.
Yeah, I would love to go up against Paige VanZant because not only, like, she has a good UFC career, we'll give her that, but I think that now I am very much unstoppable, and it's no longer delusion, it's facts. Like, it's more of the fact that I am very much just ready to let my hands go, and I'm in the correct mind space. I don't have to worry about any boys or, like, stupid drama, and just focus on, like, the actual foundations of boxing.
So you were at featherweight. Are you going to continue to campaign at featherweight?
No, I'm going to go. I like being at 126 just for like my body appearance, but I'm going to go down to like 117, 118. This is like where the profile picture comes into play, the bleach blonde Brooklyn. I was 117 pounds when I took that picture. I think the 118 weight class and 122 weight class would be good. I believe for April, I will be going 122. And that is bantamweight or super bantamweight. And I want a campaign to go up against Francesca Hennessy because I believe that I can give her a good fight. I have to obviously get my name around the pro scene. I met faces like Babyface Assassin and just different like people out here in Vegas by like just getting the right connection. So I feel like maybe in a year I would just have to remain at 118 or 122. But I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm kind of a fat ass. Not even kind of. I'm really much a fat ass. I love food. Like right now I'm at like my coach's house. I have food on the table. And that's after this like Twitter space. Like that's what I'm looking forward to. So, yeah.
So you did mention the transition from amateur to pro, influencer to pro. What's like the reception that you've been getting from like the influencers that you left behind so far?
So the influencer community that I left behind, they really love to shit on me. They really do. And I don't understand it, to be quite honest with you. I'll like clock people and I'll call them out, but otherwise it's just like I'm just a normal person, you know. So a lot of them, they've just been saying like, I made a comment, I was like, dude, I will literally KO any of your girls, like to Ma'am Sailor, who owns Misfits Boxing, because just like we said, I'm right above Paige Van Zandt in the rankings. And I know damn well I can do it. I know my abilities. I know that I can put up a good fight. The only thing is they're stuck in the storyline that I'm a villain. So they just are fucking... I forget this is recorded. I'm sorry. They're being really bad. but they're just being just biased. They don't want to give me a chance. Also, like, I am very much religious, and there's a lot of political stuff and just that goes around boxing. So I don't know. Like, it's very much a mixed emotion. Like, a lot of people are like, damn, I really saw that you got jumped. I saw that people were slandering you online. I saw your house get doxxed and your phone number. But look at you. You actually did it in 54 seconds and you let all your anger out. That's the type of response that I like to see. But again, that's maybe like a 20 percentile from that like community. Most of the support is from the traditional boxing world, from people like in brunch boxing space and different spaces, like especially at Top Rank. When I went in today, people were like, damn, like you did that shit. Like, yeah, I did. I did it with literally me going back and forth throughout the country. I did it sad. I did it heartbroken. I did it when I had to freaking go to the hospital and file legal fees on like my old team, like from the influencer world. I did it and I like just kept my head down and I was humble. I clocked everybody. People were like, oh, I don't like how you're calling things out. I don't like your personality. So fucking what? I'm a boxer. You're going to watch me regardless. So I did it. I did it. And I am very much proud of myself because nobody can now say that I lost on my pro debut. Like, I know my, you see in the video that my freaking manager is somewhat mad at me because he was like, hey, it's your first pro bout. Why don't you just do two rounds? The girl hit me and you see in the video, I get so upset that this girl hit me. Obviously, I signed up for it. Like, it's boxing. I might get hit. But like, she hit me down the line with a stupid shot. And that's when I just start bulldozing. He was like, keep your composure. Okay, I'll keep my composure. But after this bitch is on the ground, but I did what I had to do at the end of it. Can those influencers say they did? No. Can those influencers say that they're now ranked at featherweight? No. Can they say that they want to go for a WBA title for Francesca Hennessy? No, because nobody's going to take them serious. And I think that the only reason why people are taking me serious in this transition is because the network that I have around me. I have really good coaches, really good mentors, an amazing publicist, some good managers out there. Like, I am getting steered in the right direction. And one of my best friends is actually one of my sparring partners. She'll be like sitting with me and she'll be like actually going through like whatever the fuck I'm going through in my personal life. Oh, okay. Well, this guy don't like you. Oh, well, look at you. Now you have a brand deal with Alien Guards. Now you have a Nesquik brand deal. Like, look at the positives in life, because sometimes when you live in the fishbowl, you can't see how glamorous it is when there's fishbowls that are disgusting and people's lives suck. And I'm not saying that my life sucks, but it's just sometimes I need to be reassured just throughout all the social media bullshit I've been through that I am a force to be reckoned with. I am somebody who is going to make a big deal in boxing. It's not just a name or a brand. It's a lifestyle choice, and I choose to be in it. And I know that the Brunch Boxing team has been very supportive. My team, obviously, has been very supportive, and just the traditional boxing Twitter. Of course, I have some haters, but y'all can't hate a girl that's trying to make it, because I always ask, I'm like, what do you do for a living? And nobody that hates on me actually gets in that ring and actually gets punched in the face and actually has to think, oh, my life is going to end? Okay, cool. Let me bulldoze through this girl. Like, I don't know. It's just a whole new outlook on life. And I'm very much, I'm proud of myself and I'm proud of everything that we've been through, even though it was shitty, you know?
Now, what one of the things that you mentioned, you said that people doxed your house, people saw you get an attack. If you can, just talk about what happened in that situation. Was that boxing related?
Yeah, it was surprisingly boxing related. So I had an old team in New York. I do have a team in New York, and I do mention them. Alex Solomon is a great pad man, a great coach of mine, and you know, I do work with people out there. So let me just say that it is not the current people that I run with, but the old people that I ran with, they used me for clout. Regardless if you like me or not, like, a lot of people have my name in their mouths. Like, it's Brooklyn the Big Deal Barwick, and that's not me being cocky. It's the reality of it. You want to watch me fuck someone up or get fucked up, there's no in between. They ended up bandwagon hating on me all because of some females that were involved, some freaking claims that because I hate to say this, because I'm a little white girl that, like, you know, I can't do shit. Like, it was just a lot. And it was a lot of social media slander. And it was a lot of people just, like, doing me wrong. And on December 24th, Christmas Eve, I decided to stay home in New York. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this pro training camp. I skipped every single holiday. I shit you not, even Valentine's Day. I skipped every single holiday. Thanksgiving, I celebrated my birthday, but Christmas and New Year's, all that shit, I skipped it. And I was like, let me just go to my friend's place of employment. Let me grab a drink. She was alone, like, because she just had no family. And it was during Hanukkah. And I was like, you know what? I got my fucking potato latkes and I just went and got a drink. And I told another person who did not have family that, hey, why don't I buy you a drink? Why don't we talk about business and talk about what I can provide for you, what you can provide for me? Told this person the location. The location then got brought into people who don't like me onto their radar. So they came to Bedside Brooklyn. They jumped me. They basically, I believe they were jealous. Like, a lot of it had to be fueled by jealousy. because it was people that I knew in my previous camp, people that I had intimate relations with, people that knew the way I fight, sparring partner. It was two people that I knew very well, and they did it because of my head coach at the time. He's no longer my coach. They were just trying to please him, trying to please the influencer world and just make me look like a fool. But no, I really do believe in God at that point, because right after this happened, like, my whole life changed. I felt just ashamed that I even put my trust into people that didn't deserve it. I put my walls up and I went on and I did my thing. I told my publicity team, my management, I was about to delay my pro debut, which I did a little bit by a few weeks because it was going to be February 22nd. But I originally thought it was going to be April or May. And I was like, no, like, they're trying to make me not take this leap of faith, so why not just prove them wrong and do it? So that's exactly what I did. There's a lot of legality stuff that I don't want to go into, but I had to do all that administration bullshit. I also had to just, like, I just had to stick to myself and stick to my, like, soul. And yeah, like, it didn't disrupt. It disrupted some sparring time. I'm not going to lie to you. I wish I sparred more this camp. But it really, when trauma comes to a person, you really just, you either break or you evolve. And I feel like I evolved into trusting more of myself, trying to obviously stay true to myself, but also just, like, live my life and not be in fear of what people are going to say about me. Because I even know that some people, like, for example, in this Twitter space popped up that have been watching my accounts ever since, like, the freaking jumping happened. It's like, okay, cool. I'm not going to say who said it, but a high executive in the boxing world, he said it was quote unquote hometown beef. You don't want to, like, you're a wallflower, Brooklyn. You expand out of the vase. You're a beautiful soul. Like, you don't want to be just stuck in the dirt, do you? No, I don't. And I do believe that I have a bright future, but these people are just stuck in their own stubborn ways and doing shit that they're not supposed to, doing illegal shit too. And it's like, again, without, you know, going too much into detail, because a lot of things happened during that jumping and the social media cakewalk that they were doing. It just showed who I was as a person. And I know Matt knows this, but like, when you talk to me, like, Big Deal is a whole different personality. Like, I can come in here and be like, hey, what's up, you guys? It is Brooklyn the Big Deal Barwick. Thank you so much. Yeah, I just knocked a bitch out in 54 seconds. But no, that's not who I am as a person. As a person, as Brooklyn Barwick, Brooklyn Ann Barwick from Laguna, like, I'm pretty dope. I like pink Hello Kitty, I say to myself. And if people can, like, realize that I am a public figure, that there are limitations, and that, you know, to be better humans, that would be great. But I can only control myself. I can't control New York. I can't control the world. I can't control the United States. I can't control freaking Mars. Like, I can only control myself and what I do in the ring. And I think my actions and just doing this whole transition spoke louder than my words. And I'm very much happy about that. So, yeah. And I think that was right before I met you, Brunch. Because I was like, the one thing I can say about a girl on my publicity team, Emily, is she's been very supportive. I was like, oh my God, I just got jumped. Like, what the fuck do I do? I'm not from a place like that. I don't get jumped on. I only fight in the ring. I'm female outside the ring. And she just was like, you know what? This is your prove the haters wrong story. Because every single character in the storybook has a story, and I feel like mine is very unique because I'm very misunderstood. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened in training camp. That wasn't really, it was publicized, Matt, but it wasn't really like my side until now here on at Brunch Boxing. If you're not following Brunch Boxing, what are you doing here on this Spotify audio in this Twitter space? But not a lot of people know that. And now you guys know what the fuck I went through. Lots of therapy, lots of crying, lots of PTSD, and a lot of, okay, now I proved to myself who the fuck I actually am.
Now, obviously, coming from the influence world, like you said, you know, people got in your ear, hey, you should do this, hey, you should do that, hey, you should do this. Now, I wanted to ask you, obviously, that stuff has kind of gotten you, I don't want to say in trouble, but it's kind of made you build like a reputation where people expect that from you. Is that something you're going to try to carry over into your professional career?
No, I don't think so. I think that honestly, I'm just going to do more of having what my training is speak, because being big deal is fun. I will say that. Like, I go to parties and I'm like, hey guys, I'm Brooklyn the Big Deal Barwick. And obviously to events and everything, like the Benavides card, anything PBC related. I would say like maybe the bubbly side of like the sweetness and like the little girly girl part of me. Yeah. But me actually being more of like on the clocking shit, like, oh, you're an OnlyFans porn star. Like, let me like go attack at you. No, like, I feel like even with like this debut, I shook the hand of my opponent after, and I'm such a nice person. I was like, damn, I hope I didn't kill her spirit. I hope she still fights. Like, I'm just, I don't know. I think I'm more of like on the wavelength of we'll see just how my mood is. Like, obviously, if I have to stand up for myself and say, hey, like, this is wrong, like, I'm going to do that. But otherwise, it's like, I'm going to just act like how I am. I'm going to act just me. It's not going to be a full front. It's just going to be, okay, like, this is who Brooklyn is. This is who I want to continue to have my career as. And just go along and live my life and box and do what I love. Like, I think I'm more of on that wave. The character has to be gone. Big deal is not gone completely, but she will be tamed at least until somebody grinds her gears and she snaps back. So, yeah, you'll see more Brooklyn this year at least.
So what are your goals in the sport of boxing while you're doing it?
I want to get a WBA belt. I want to get a WBO, IBF, you know, all that shit. I want to be a serious contender. I want to help females and just expand and kind of like feed into them as well, because I feel like there is an amazing amount of talent in the United States, but boxing's a weird, like, little gray area where people are very sinister, I feel like, and very much like to use people. I want to guide somebody in the right direction and just maybe, I'll call it, like, adopt a kid, adopt a daughter type thing. I want to do that for sure, be someone's mentor. I'm launching a couple products. I want to be known as somebody that made her mark in boxing, that is helping, and I'm not going to say the product, but is helping in a certain field. And also, I just want to be the best that I can be and put on a show for everybody, because I've realized that there's other fighters, like my friend Pink Tyson, who love Hello Kitty as well. Babyface Assassin.
So you're talking about Tyson Gallagher, you mean?
Pink Tyson, the Greek girl from Florida.
Okay. Yeah. I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
no, that's my friend. Okay. She's doing a training camp in Nashville. I just want, people to just express themselves more. I express myself through outfits, whether it be, fight week outfits, track suits. My next, fight kit is already made. It's been, since the influencer stage, I've been wanting this outfit. It's I want to be known for my flashy attitude. I don't want to be known as mean girl, but somebody that is going to put her foot down and not let shit slide. Because I don't know. And then also have a bunch of belts, have a bunch of money, get my family out the trenches. But that all comes with the success and the dedication that I'm already putting in and I'm going to continue to put in. It's not the main priority, but that part, yes, definitely, this is a business.
Now you mentioned your fight kit. I did notice in your fight kit that you wore in your first fight, it looked like it was a dedication to the late Paul Bamba. Can you just talk about what went into that fight kit? Why'd you do it?
Yeah, so Paul Bamba is the one who got me into boxing, actually. So him and I had a very rocky friendship, if you would say that. He was a very stubborn person, and I am a very stubborn person. But we never had any ill will towards each other because it was all love at the end of the day. He connected me to the team that ended up jumping me and slandering me. But at first, obviously, the fit was like a glove, very much needed. But whenever I had a problem, I always went to Paul. And I always envisioned with him on his build-up year that he would get the Jake Paul fight, that he would sell out Madison Square Garden, and he would just do whatever his heart desired, because Paul was a very much a think-outside-the-box type person. I dedicated the fit to him because on that same day, as the tank card, my card, and a bunch of other boxing events was his memorial, and it was at the old gym that I used to go to. And he worked there, obviously, when he was homeless, getting out and getting his rich lifestyle that he ended up dying with. But he was a very humble person, and I felt that he should have been on my fight suit because the first ever boxer before I even got the question to do the influencer exhibition bout that I talked to was Paul. So it felt very special to represent him in a way that I kind of vibed with, because I'm not going to be a flashy person and say, oh, Paul was my best friend, Paul this, Paul that, because there is a lot of people who were in the misfit scene that claimed to be his quote-unquote best friend, but unfortunately, people just like to bandwagon and go to people and latch onto them when they're dead because it seems cool. No, I'm never going to be like that with Paul, so that dedication was more just like a subtle, hey, I did this for you. I love you. I will always love you. And rest in peace, man. Because we were definitely not on the best terms when he did pass away. But the last text message and the last communication that me and Paul ever talked about was when me and my old coach were beefing back and forth. And he sent me a text message. He was like, I don't know why you're spiraling, but I hope you grow up and be the better person that I know you are. And that really meant a lot to me, because no matter how much I fucking hated that man, respectfully, his personality just did not blend well with mine. He was always solid. So rest in peace to Paul, rest in peace to the champ. He did all of those 14 fights to prove something to everybody, and I think he proved that you cannot break something that is self-made, that the foundation is put down for. So, yeah, I really like that fight suit. I think I would reuse the top and just get new bottoms with new sponsors and everything. But I even had firecracker on there, which was a term that my old New York gym called me. I had Big Deal, obviously, my fight name on it, and then I had BKLYN because I always abbreviate my name. So it was a good fight too.
What's next for you? Like, what's the plan? How many times are you gonna fight?
I feel like I'm gonna fight 3 to 4 more times. I am in between right now doing an influencer exhibition. I don't think I should, because with the legitimate route that I want to take, I want to be taken more seriously. And if I have already gone 2 steps forward, I don't want to take 5 steps back. So I guess I want to compete in Mexico again, because I really want to establish a fan base there, and maybe towards Tijuana, because I have done a training camp out there at Alto Boxing Club. I have offers in the summer in the United Kingdom. So that is a professional bout as well. That would be iconic at your call. And then I kind of want to either do Colombia, Puerto Rico, or come back to the States. But I want to fight 4 times. I want to hop around the countries, kind of get my footing in, and then see if I'm an international star or if I am a national star. So, meaning, am I going to perform well on the stateside, which I have before, like Barstool and everything, I have sold out before. But also at the same time, like, am I going, most of my fans are digital, am I going to be a pay-per-view star? Like, what, you know, I'm just kind of on that wavelength right now, just kind of dipping my toes, seeing what works and what doesn't. And if I do end up doing an influencer exhibition card, I will put this as a direct quote: they are paying me good money, all right? Because for the pros, I have noticed that it is a big pay cut, but it is worth it for me, so I can go a more legitimate route. And fuck it, like, Tiara Brown's at number one in featherweight. So, like, if I gotta fight her to get to the top, like, I will fight anybody at this point. Put any op in front of me, I'll bulldoze through. So, I'm just trying to stay active, trying to stay humble, and see what type of title opportunities that I can get in the future and be a legitimate contender.
No doubt. Now, before we get out of here, are you okay with taking any questions from the listeners?
Yes, I am. I see Ty right there, who is actually, he owns Royalty Promotions, and he is a small creator boxer, as they call him. So, hi, Ty. How are you doing today?
What's up, Brooke? I'm doing pretty good. How everyone doing today?
Doing well.
Good. I'm about to train, so I'm not going to be in here too long, but I just wanted to ask, like, what's the biggest transition in camp from influencer boxing to pro boxing? I know you switched camps recently, but, like, has your main focus changed on what you're working in camp? Has just the pace changed? Like, what's the biggest difference?
Yeah, so the biggest difference is I'm actually getting some attention, honestly, because I feel like I said this on the Fuego Phoenix radio station, that there is a big skill divide between influencers and professionals, and people don't take influencers as seriously. More and more people are now working on, like, the foundation of me. Okay, cool. I can punch. I can knock someone out. We just proved that. But how am I going to execute it, and how am I going to stay safe without taking unnecessary damage? That's what we're focusing on. And it's now, I've hated running my entire life, but recently me and my best friend went with the top rank in the Floyd Mayweather team up to Mount Charleston.
And I made it like 4 miles. She made it 4.5 miles. The elevation got me sick right before the fight. So it's just more of like, I'm in boot camp. I'm at like top level gyms in New York and Vegas. When I go visit out to California and Mexico, like I'm getting like intel from there. I'm just now taking it more as a job rather than a hobby, if you know what I mean.
That's pretty dope. Now, obviously, we know you're not the first influencer turned boxer. The most famous example is Jake Paul.
I'm the female Jake Paul.
What I was going to ask you is what kind of impact, if any, has Jake Paul had on you in your journey?
So a lot of people, it's very controversial to say that I am the female Jake Paul. I do make that joke. But I think that Jake Paul just kind of normalized it for influencers to be in the sport of boxing. The only thing that I would preach upon, and I said this on the Mayweather channel, is that some programs on Zone are scripted and others like Jake Paul's bouts are not scripted. The only thing that Jake is now providing to the traditional boxing world is proper payouts. And now I get it. Like, there is a big skill divide and fighters should get paid more, but a lot of them are getting paid more on these influencer cards because of their pull and that the fact that they can put butts in seats. I think Jake kind of just influenced me to stay away from the chaos because I used to do a lot of fucking bullshit, excuse me, but and cause a lot of chaos. Now it's just like, okay, do I want to be that or do I want to be Brooklyn? And I think I found a good direction to where I want to go. But for sure, I will give him flowers that he did influence a lot of us into getting into boxing.
Dude, all right, so we know Jake Paul, he was in talks to fight Canelo. The fight fell through. There's like talks that he might fight someone like a Gervonta Davis. We saw him fight Mike Tyson, legendary boxer. Are there any legendary boxers out there that you would want to step into the ring with?
I think I would want to step in the ring with Francesca Hennessy, Sky Nichols. Sky would be a featherweight, obviously. I think more. I don't know.
I'm talking about legendary boxers. I'm not talking
legendary
about
Katie Taylor.
People who you have
Katie Taylor. I would love that. That would be a dream. Like, Katie is definitely in my fight style.
Wait, Katie Taylor, wow.
Yeah, that's my goat. You know that.
Yeah. Why is Katie Taylor your goat?
Katie Taylor is my goat because she paved the way for women to be into boxing. Because in her country it was illegal to box as a female. So I do have Irish royalty in Ireland. Like, you can look that shit up. I'm not gonna say my mom's maiden name, but because I do have a couple seeds planted out there, I have love for her, and I think that it would be a really good, obviously, I don't know, at this point, if I could, like, do it and, like, not be starstruck, but I think that Katie Taylor would be a fucking dream and a half, at least for me. She's just iconic, she's a pioneer. It used to be Heather Hardy, but Heather Hardy, unfortunately, does not have the big deal stamp of approval at this moment.
Why not? Why didn't she have the big deal stamp of approval?
Let's just say that a lot of the New York beef got into places I didn't want it to go into. I asked Heather to train me at one point, like a couple private lessons. I was about to get back to her. She did a snarly remark at me. So they say never meet your heroes. So I would never meet her. I caught her outside. That's a different story. And plus, I don't think that, like, presently she would be good because she does have CTE.
Yeah, she can't box anymore. She definitely can't box anymore. But that's actually pretty interesting. All right, before we get out of here, what message do you want to send to the fans out there about Brooklyn Big Deal Barwick?
Brooklyn the Big Deal Barwick loves your support and also loves your hate. Love me or hate me, I'm still in this bitch. My message is just keep an eye out for me. And thank you so much to Brunch Boxing for having me on. And yeah, more to come. April, June, and then we going down in the fall. Catch me 4 times. Maybe even 5. I don't know. I'll take all the smoke. So, and then follow me at Brooklyn Barwick on all social medias. And if you want to catch up on my boxing journey on Instagram, it is Team BKLYN Boxing. So, yeah, that's it.
I definitely appreciate you joining us. You know, best of luck on your future endeavors. Congratulations on your first win. And we're looking to see big things from the Big Deal in the future. So, you know, you got to make us proud.
Thank you so much. Yes, I will make you guys proud. Don't worry.
Yes, that was Brooklyn Barwick, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go.
And you guys can catch Brooklyn, you know, on social media, like she told you, Brooklyn Barwick, you know, on all social media platforms. Just type it in. You will be able to find her. You know, she got like a couple videos from her first fight. So, you know, go check it out. Go check her out. Check out the skills. See her progress. See her story. See her journey. And, you know, just go support this young boxer on her journey through the boxing world. This has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, Mike. He is our host, Ezra. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing, and we are
Bye, guys.